air of finality. Omri saw his chance. With one quick movement, he had picked up the Indian by the waist between his thumb and forefinger. In doing this, he pinned the knife which was in the Indian's belt firmly to his side. The dangling Indian twisted, writhed, kicked, made a number of ferocious and hideous faces. But beyond that he was helpless, and he evidently knew it, for after a few moments he decided it was more dignified to stop struggling. Instead, he folded his tiny arms across his chest once again, put his head back, and stared with proud defiance at Omri's face, which was now level with his own. For Omri, the feeling of holding this little creature in his fingers was very strange and wonderful. If he had had any doubts that the Indian was alive, the sensation he had now would have put them to rest. His body was heavier now, warm and firm and full of life. Through Omri's thumb, on the Indian's left side, he could feel his heart beating wildly like a bird's. Although the Indian felt strong, Omri could sense how fragile he was, how easily an extra squeeze could injure him. He would have liked to feel him all over, his tiny arms and legs, his hair, his ears, almost too small to see. Yet when he saw how the Indian, who was altogether in his power, faced him boldly and hid his fear, he lost all desire to handle him. He felt it was cruel and insulting to the Indian, who was no longer his plaything, but a person who had to be respected. Omri put him down gently on the chest of drawers where the cupboard stood. Then he crouched down till his face was again level with the Indian's. The car was still a toy car made of metal, no more real than it had ever been. "It works," breathed Omri, and then he caught his breath. "Little bull," he shouted, "it works! It works! I can make any plastic toy I like come alive, come real! It's real magic, don't you understand? Magic!" The Indian stood calmly with folded arms, evidently disapproving of this display of excitement.
"So, magic. The spirits work much magic. No need wake dead with howls like coyote."
Omri hastily pulled himself together. Never mind the dead, it was his parents he must take care not to wake. To Omri's dismay, Little Bull, instead of clinging on somehow, came loose and flew through the air in a curve, landing on the carpet just beyond the edge of the cupboard. Omri thought his neck must be broken, but he had landed in a sort of somersault and was instantly on his feet again. The face he turned to Omri was shining with happiness.
"Crazy horse!" he cried with fierce delight.
The crazy horse was meanwhile standing quite still, reins hanging loose, looking watchfully at the Indian through wild, wide-apart eyes. This time Little Bull made no sudden moves. He stood quite still for a long time, just looking back at the pony. Then, so slowly you could scarcely notice, he edged towards him, making strange, hissing sounds between his clenched teeth, which almost seemed to hypnotize the pony. Step by step he moved, softly, cautiously, until he and the pony stood almost nose to nose. Then, quite calmly, Little Bull reached up and laid his hand on the pony's neck. It was a lovely, fresh summer morning. Omri stood on the back steps with the box in his hands, looking round for a suitable spot. The lawn wasn't much good. The grass would be over the Indian's head in most places. The terrace at the foot of the steps was no use at all, with its hard, uneven bricks and the cracks between them. But the path was beaten earth and small stones, real riding ground if they were careful. Omri walked to the path and laid the matchbox carton down. For a moment he hesitated. Could the Indian run away? How fast could such a small pony run? As fast as, say, a mouse? If so, and they wanted to escape, Omri wouldn't be able to catch them. A cat, on the other hand, would. Omri knelt on the path in his pyjamas and put his face to the cellophane window. The Indian stood inside, holding the pony's head. "Little Bull," he said clearly, "we're outdoors now. I'm going to let you out to ride. But remember, you're not on your prairie now. There are mountain lions here, but they're big enough to swallow you whole and the pony too. Don't run away. You wouldn't survive. Do you understand?" Little Bull looked at him steadily and nodded. Omri opened the flap, and Indian and pony stepped out into the morning sunlight.